Happy Father's Day. I'd like to read Rodney Lung's bio. Rodney Lung is the national sales manager for Wakarusa Coach Company, where he specializes in selling custom vehicles nationwide for medical, dental, command centers, and more. With over 30 years of experience in sales and leadership, including owning businesses and serving as a general manager for major companies, Rodney brings a wealth of practical insight and integrity to every role he steps into. Before entering the business world, Rodney was drafted by the Texas Rangers and played professional baseball for 2 years. Off the field and outside the boardroom, he is a dedicated husband and father of two, driven by faith and a desire to serve. Rodney is currently writing his first book, Inspired by the Lord, as part of his calling to minister through everyday life. He has long believed his mission is to be a business minister, feeding people spiritually through daily interactions. Now God is leading him to speak directly to men, helping them break through spiritual and emotional barriers that hold them back in life and relationships. At the heart of Rodney's message is a simple yet profound commitment to live fully for our Lord Jesus Christ and help others do the same. And so I've known Rodney Lung for a very long time and appreciate him very much and have watched him grow in the faith. I believe we ordained him a business minister when we were downtown at River of Life Christian Center. Yes, and he oversaw our ministers in the marketplace and just always has so much wisdom about the marketplace. And you watch him walk it out and live it out. And he's worked for many people that we know, and always a good report on Rodney. And so we are just honored that he took time out today and his family showed up today. Family, would you stand up so we could honor you today? Let's give the Lord a praise for this family showing up. And his beautiful wife, Abigail. We're so glad you're here. Actually, Abigail and Rodney was the last marriage I performed at the church. Yes, before we sold it. And so it's just, and do you remember they got baptized there together? Yes. And so some of you know them from current situation. Some of you know Rodney from back in the 90s when we had Hans and Franz. Does anybody remember Hans and Franz? Which one were you?
I was Franz.
Franz, that's what I thought. Okay, so his other name is Franz. But anyway, we're just delighted to have him today. And just let's open our hearts to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying through him today. I know he's bringing a message to really encourage the men, but also this message is going to really encourage the women, because God's word is applicable whether you're male or female. Is that right? And life is life whether you're male or female. So at this time, let's give Rodney a warm welcome.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It's a privilege to be here today. It's been a while. Matter of fact, I think the last time I actually spoke in front of this congregation, it was downtown. And so I'm old. So that's one of the things you think about when we're doing this kind of thing. Janet and Len are very special to me. And it's, you know, when we hear the word of the Lord and getting that little knowledge that we get from the throne room, it's so important for us to understand this is what God wants us to do. This is his command. This is the kingdom of God, right? And so today, you know, being Father's Day, I go back about 2,000 years, and those disciples were there hanging out with Jesus. They were talking with Jesus, and they said, "Hey, Jesus, could you tell us how to pray?" And Jesus, without hesitation, says, "Our Father," right? Apropos today, because it's Father's Day. And he says, "Thy kingdom come." And that's what we're doing today. We want thy kingdom to come. It's Luke 11:2. So, fathers, today I'm going to stretch you a little bit. Fathers, I'm going to ask you, I want you to read more scriptures. I want you to get into the Word and pray more. I also want you to work on the fruits of the Spirit. If we go to Galatians 5:22 through 25, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. It's key. Remember, we always hear, we will know them by their spirits, right? Or by their fruits. Well, these are the fruits we're talking about. These very fruits right here that we see. You know, when I was preparing for this message, sometimes you go, how can I maybe be impactful for people? But guess what? It's not about me being impactful. It's what God wants us to say to you. And so you have to pray. You really have to dig into it. And also, I've been hearing this thing around lately that God will never give you more than you can handle. All right? We all hear that. And guess what? I always think about that. I'm like, really? See, Noah was 500 years old, and he says, I want you to build a ship 550 feet long, 50 feet wide, and 30 feet high. Right. I'm like, wait a minute. That's a little bit more than I can handle, I think. And what about Moses? Then in Egypt, that was that day, modern military equal to the United States. I want you to go to Egypt and get your people out of there, right? That's a pretty big deal, right? So sometimes we hear these sayings out there, but guess what? That's not exactly what it said. It says, he will not tempt you more than you can handle, not give you more than you can handle. It's 1 Corinthians 10:13. I didn't put that one up there. It's just a little one. But when you're preparing for these messages, you want to listen to God. You want to be patient. By the way, that patience stuff, that's a work in process for me. I don't know about you out there, but it's a work in process for me. And by the way, Janet said I could only have 40 minutes, so I cut it down to 2.5 hours. So it should be okay, right? You know, as fathers, we have this special, unique place. We get to go into the room where our wives or our mothers are giving birth, right? And we have this responsibility. We're there. We're present. We're helping with the breathing. We're doing all the stuff. None of the pain. But we got all that other stuff, right? And then they give us this little bundle of joy. I had two children. My daughter Mackenzie's here. And I had my son was the firstborn, Caleb. And they hand you this baby that's purple and red. By the way, it's nothing like on TV. They're purple, right? It doesn't look anything like that. And you know what? You just want to cry emotionally. You've been preparing this whole time for this child. But really, you don't know the effect of what that child's going to do to you. And as a father, it's a weird thing. And if the mother's okay, then guess what happens? They give you the baby, they give you stuff, and they send you home. No directions, no books. You know, you can read all you want, but guess what? When you get home, I remember that first night, I'm standing over the crib or bassinet right next to the bed. I'm looking in there, and I'm like, is he still breathing? Not knowing what he would do, what I would do if he wasn't breathing. But that's, you're nervous, right? You've got this thing, and it's like, wow. But guess what? This birthing right here is just like Christianity. It's just like when you're reborn. Remember Jesus talked to one of the priests and said, hey, listen, you have to be reborn. Remember, our whole world was around that baby. And guess what? It should be the same thing when we're born into Christianity too. We should be spending more time with God. We should be doing more things with God. It should be the center of our lives. And the more that we can do that, the better it'll be for us. I was talking to Janet earlier. I was like, you know, some of these Secret Service out there, listen, I'm sorry, it's my personality. I can't help it. But some of these people who get born again and walk out of church should be hit by a bus right then and there because they're not equipped for what's going to happen to them. They're not prepared for what Satan has ready for. Because they haven't been on Satan's radar. And now you are. And I mean that kindly. I don't want him to get hit by a bus. Okay, I'll say that. But the fact of the matter is, I was telling Abigail, my wife, it's kind of like I low carb, you know, keto. That's how I diet. And I've been doing it since 1995, a lot longer than most have. But if you don't have the proper food in the refrigerator, when you start the low carb, guess what? You're going to fail. And it's the same way with Christianity. If you don't have the right equipment, you don't have your Bible, and you aren't studied up, guess what? You can fail if you don't have those things going on. You know, and then after you bring that child home, guess what? Proverbs 22:6, start a child off in the way they should go. And even when they are old, they will not turn away from it. You know, I've heard friends say, well, I'm going to let them make up their own mind. Really? Have you been out there? I don't want any of that stuff in there, right? We want to protect them. We want to comfort them. But guess what? We want to bring them up in a godly way. And it'll be so much better for them as it goes. So, when you bring that child home, guess what? It's really time to start leaning on God. You know, I heard this story one time. A guy had never flown before, and he was going on this 2.5-hour flight. And after he got off of this flight, he was standing outside the gate, and somebody overheard. He says, you know, the whole 2.5 hours, I don't think I ever put the full weight of my body on that seat. He didn't trust it, because he thought if he did, even though he's already in the plane, he thought if he did, guess what? The plane would just fall out of the air, right? But that's what we do with God. Sometimes we don't put the full weight of Him. We don't put it on Him and let Him have it. He wants it. Matter of fact, we go to Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my soul is easy, or my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You know that yoking, right? Usually what back in the old days, they would take an experienced oxen or horse, and they would put it with an inexperienced horse, and that would help guide them, and it would help them with their labors. It doesn't mean it's not hard. It just means it's a little easier. So we want to be under Jesus' yoke. It'll be much easier. So, what am I talking about here? Where am I going today? Where is all these things coming from? My biggest thing is, it's fear. We are fearful. Matter of fact, if you look up the phrase, don't be afraid in the Bible, it's 365 times in the Bible. And I think that's a unique number because that's how many days are in a year. And I think that's what happens. We are scared every day. God doesn't want us to be scared. Jesus Christ. You know, we have these mechanisms inside of us that are instinctive, right? That fight or flight type thing. You know, we can either run away from it or we can fight. And with Jesus Christ, we can fight. You know, years ago, we had a study at the river. And Lester Sumrall taught the study, and it was called Total Man. And he taught us that three things. Well, God taught him, but he taught us three things. We're made up of body, soul, and spirit. Fear, if you look at fear, right, you've got your body, which is the flesh. Your soul, all right, is mind, will, and emotions. Those are the three things in your soul. And your spirit man is what you communicate with God with, right? And that's what we learn from Lester through the Bible. Fear targets every one of those solicles. You know, your mind, your will, and your emotions. So when you're fearful, you are targeted totally solically. Now, we could go into Lester's Total Man, and it took us, I think, 3 months to go through that study. It was a good one, but it was a long one, right? But I also wanted to reflect on this. Galatians, I already talked about the fruits, right? At the end of that Galatians 5:22 and verse 25, it says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit, right? Our communication should be with the Spirit man.
Amen.
Why is that important to us today? Because, you know, as men and women, we have gone through some bad things, some really bad things, some very bad things. We all have. And what happens is when we're fearful, what we do is we hide them. Remember, you know, I'm old enough to learn when I'm growing up, you guys, you just keep those covered up. You keep those to yourself. Well, what happens is we don't understand is when we start covering up things, when we start keeping them down, we start isolating certain things. We start hiding them in our solical realm. And when that solical part starts to happen and we get fearful, we start to do things that aren't characteristic. I had a friend one time that was an assistant to a hypnotist. Now, I don't recommend hypnotists to anybody. Matter of fact, you shouldn't mess with that. But I'm using it as an example because if you ever seen a hypnotist on stage, what he does is he gives this person, hey, when I give this key word, you're going to act like a chicken. And you do this key word, you're going to whinny like a horse. And then he has other people start saying that. And it's all chaotic on the stage because of what has happened. Well, guess what? As human beings, when we've gone through tragedies or we've gone through things that hurt us in life, we have triggers too. We have key words out there that when they come up, they go, oh, I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to do that because we've buried them deep down. Now, some of those have happened before our relationship with Christ, and we've kind of lost track of them. I know I've been guilty of that too. And we want to know why. Why is it all of a sudden we're doing so well in life? And matter of fact, we're sitting out on the back porch and go, man, this is life. But yet all of a sudden something happens and it all turns bad on you. Why? Why does that happen? It's because we have things, we have fears that we have buried deep and hidden. And I'm going to tell you right today that we don't have to be that way. God doesn't want us to be that way today. I've taken a long time to set up where I'm going. And I'm going to get there. Trust me, I'm going to get there. But Jesus has not forgotten those things. He is not. Matter of fact, when those things come up in time, I mean, I read this book called by C.S. Lewis called Screwtape Letters. I recommend it. But remember, it's going to be deep. And C.S. Lewis had some insight, I believe, on the spiritual world. And what C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters was about a spirit that was a bad spirit that was basically hanging around your family. Remember the old days when you had the little devil come up on one side and the angel come up on the other side on TV shows? Oh, no, you should do this. Oh, no, you should do this, right? Well, that's kind of what C.S. Lewis was talking about. These eternal beings were there at the time when you had bad experiences. And every once in a while, what will happen is when one of those bad experiences come up or one of those key words hits you, guess what happens? He taps you on the shoulder. And that's why you change. And that's why things happen to you in a bad way. It's because if you look at Ephesians 6:12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. This is in Ephesians. That's why we need to put on that full armor of God, because these are the kind of things that are happening to us and we don't even know it at times. We need to get it on our word. That's why I was saying read more, pray more. That fruit of the Spirit. Another thing is a long time ago, many of these things we have forgotten. Many of these things we don't even understand. You know, today, Jesus wants you to do something. And I say this because the decision for Jesus Christ is today. Satan is about tomorrow. Please wait until tomorrow. Because what aren't we promised? We're not promised tomorrow. Mm-hmm. We're only promised right now. So, Jesus wants to work this out for us today. You know, I think back in Scripture of these times when fear over the top of men. Let's go with Moses. I talked about Moses a little bit earlier about leaving. The Exodus, Moses. Here he is. He gets the Hebrews, through God's help, out of Egypt, right? They go through the Red Sea. They go through all things. By the way, I wanted to mention one thing. Do you know that when they were released, everything was great? They were celebrating. They took all the spoils of Egypt with them, all the gold. That's where they got the gold for all the things they were doing as far as even the Ark of the Covenant with gold. It was the spoils. But guess what? What happened? Just before they get ready to get out of town, cross the Red Sea, guess what happens? The Egyptians say, hey, man, we need to go back and get them. I'm not doing this anymore. It's wrong. So just remember, when we finally do get released, when God finally does say, hey, you're one of mine, he's coming for you. This is what these Egyptians is. They came for the Israelites, right? But they get through the sea, the Red Sea. They get over and they're going to Mount Sinai. All these things happen to manna. God supplies everything. Matter of fact, there's a cloud during the day, a fiery pillar at night, so they knew which way they were going. He did everything for them. But guess what? Moses leaves for a couple of days, and guess what? They get all scared, and they start building this golden calf, right? How soon we forget. How soon we don't acknowledge what's going on in our lives. So, by the way, does anybody really know how long it really takes to get from Egypt to the Promised Land? It took them about 48, 50 days to get to Mount Sinai. It's only 11 days more to get to the Promised Land. 60 days. But guess what? That's not what happens, right? So they get to the promised land, and they send in the spies. They come back with the reports. What are they? They're scared. 10 of them are scared to death. There's giants over there. Holy cow. We're never going to... Listen, they just conquered the modern-day American military with Egypt, and they're worried about the Amorites and all the other militaries that are in the promised land. Don't they understand what they just dealt with? Don't they understand that God's going to help them out? But let me ask you this question. What is the promised land? It's a place of hope, prosperity, and fulfillment. It's a place where you can live in peace and abundance under God's guidance. So fear had overcome these people, except for two, Caleb and Joshua, right? But guess what? They were left to wander in the desert for 40 years because they had forgotten. Some of us in this room today have forgotten some of the things that's happened to us in the past. And guess what? That is what happens. We wander for 40 years. Not because we're being judged, just because we don't know what's going on in our soulical areas. So then we remember they get back to the exact point to where they were kicked out and told to wander. Joshua gets them back. And they cross they go through the Jordan River. And what's unusual is, if you think about fear from my perspective, it's always guarded. But what's it guarded with? We build these things called walls. How many times have you heard, I built walls? Why do we build walls? Protect ourselves, right? If we get behind this wall, we can protect ourselves. And really, that's what it's about today. I want to help, through God, tear down those walls that are in your lives, whether you be a man or a woman, because they're there. And I find it very unusual is when these, after this 40 years of wandering, they go through the Jordan River and they come, what's the first place they come to? Jericho. What's it got? It's got walls. And what's God tell them to do? Well, we got to bring down those walls, right? Five things took place. They identified where their problem was. That's what God wants us to do, identify our problems. Two, they prayed and put together a strategy. God wants us to put together a strategy. Do I need counseling? Do I need to do this? Do I need to do that? I need to do something. Three, they faithfully carried out what God told them to do. God is telling you to do something. Matter of fact, He's telling you to do it today. Four, it takes time. How many days? 7 days, right? 7 days to go around Jericho. It took time. It's not going to happen overnight. And guess what? Five, complete success. Those walls came down. And by the way, the walls of Jericho were not, everybody thinks, well, it's just one great big wall. No. So there was a wall, 12, 15 feet high, earth behind it. Another wall, 12, 15 feet high. So they were different. That's what made Jericho so strategically hard to get into. But guess what? They walked and praised and they went around this and they had complete success. The walls came down. I find it interesting, and listen, I'm not going to accuse anybody of this, but I want to look at Joshua 6:26-27. At the time, Joshua pronounced this solemn oath, "Cursed before the Lord is the one who undertakes to rebuild the city Jericho. At the cost of his firstborn son, he will lay its foundation. At the cost of his youngest, he will set up its gates." So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout the land. Joshua cursed those who would rebuild Jericho and those walls. I'm not saying he's going to curse you for rebuilding walls. I think it's just unusual that maybe we shouldn't be wanting to rebuild our walls. We want to tear them down and keep them down. And by the way, if you read the Bible even further, there was a gentleman that tried to rebuild Jericho and his firstborn died and his next son died when he hung the gates. I got a story for you. I want to take you... There's this little boy, he's 2 years old. He's got a brother, he's four. And he hangs out with his brother, obviously. Well, guess what? One day his brother dies. Well, the two-year-old has no idea what happened. He's confused. Because guess what? His brother's not there anymore. Can you imagine a two-year-old? What happens? These defense mechanisms go off in this little boy because that's the way God sets it up, right? We want to protect him. 2 years later, boy's four now. His parents, divorce. Take him over to the grandmother's house. Leave him. Four-year-old boy. Difficult, right? We don't know what he's going through. We don't understand, but we know this much. These protection mechanisms are going off in this little boy. He needs protected. 4 years later after that, he's eight. He's actually in an elementary school. He's second grade, and we don't do this anymore. But there's a good news program, right? He goes down to the good news program, and there's a person talking up there and says, hey, listen, there's this father sent his son to protect you. And if you accept him, he'll protect you too. Of course, the little boy. Hey, man, I've been dealing with this stuff. I think I need this. And they say, hey, listen, what's nice is the person says, you can just whisper, come into my heart right there. That's all you have to do. And he will. So the little boy does it because guess what? He wants to be protected. He wants to get better. Well, guess what? That's what happens. He gets better. Things start going good. Now, there's attacks. There's a tug of war. There's all kinds of things going on in his life. But guess what? Good usually wins out over evil most of the time. It happens. But this is what I understand about God the Father. He knew that someday he would have to deal with that little boy's luggage that he was carrying around. And what does he do? He sends. Remember when Jesus was resurrected, he commanded his disciples not to do anything, not to leave the city until what? Until they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Remember that? Don't leave. He commanded them to. Matter of fact, that was the only commandment he gave them at that time, after the death. Stay there. And they did. Matter of fact, that's in John 14, 15 through 17. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask my Father, and he will give you another counselor to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him, because they neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, and he lives in you and will be in you. I find it interesting, early on it says counselor. The Holy Spirit knows you need counseling. And you want to know why things are coming up? It's because the Holy Spirit's bringing up things. Says you need this help. I want to help you. He's not going to do it just because he is who he is. He wants you to want that help and get that help. That's why he's the counselor. That's why he's the great counselor for us. I find it really cool in 14:21, whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. So the Holy Spirit is that great counselor. Why is it important today? Why is it important on Father's Day? Fathers are supposed to be the head of the household, right? The spiritual head of the household. We've been talking about spirit man for a lot. Ephesians 5, 23 through 25. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and give himself up for you. 1 Timothy 3:4. He must manage his own family well and see his children obey him, and he must do so in a manner worthy of full respect. Here's the thing. We've all been hurt. Whether our dads hurt us, our moms hurt us, our kids are hurt, we still have to go and forgive them for that, right? How can we be Christians and not forgive those who have hurt us or we're still being hurt by, right? We need to do that. I'm here today to tell you that there's better ways. And guess what? There's better times in front of you, because if you get this counseling or you get these problems removed when those walls come down, you're being held back. You're being held back from the full glory that you could be experienced in today's world. Yes, we look for our help to go to heaven. But And God said it wasn't going to be easy. But guess what? He said he would do certain things to make it at least livable here and not be in this pain that we're in. So instead of sitting out there and wandering the desert for 40 years, and maybe you've been wandering the desert for 40 years. I know I did. I wandered for a little while. Matter of fact, I remember having conversations with my wife, Abigail. I don't want to be a Christian. I don't. I know how much work it takes. Guess what? Christianity is not easy. But it's worth it, right?
Yes.
Amen? Because I'm going to tell you right now. I reflect on the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And the rich man's in Haiti. And Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham. They could see each other. And he said, go back and tell my brothers not to come to this place. We don't want to go to that place. And it's not always about that. It's about Jesus Christ and what they have done and God has done for us. That's what it's about. You know, people keep on looking for better options. Look at the world today. If you do this, it's a great option. I'll be honest with you. I told my son, man, when it's not going good, if you don't have God in your life, it's going to go bad. It just is. Right? God is the only option. I'm going to tell you right now. You can try them all, but take it from somebody that has. They're not good options. Jesus Christ is there. He's there to help you. He's there to help you succeed in life. Does that mean you're going to have $1 million? No, it doesn't. Some of us, maybe. But it's about getting through life and then spend. You know, I once had a pastor sit here and say, you know, if that's all eternity past and this is all eternity future, and I put a hair up right here, this is how long we're here. It's not very long compared to the real picture.
That's right.
Okay? So let's stop running and looking for those options. Let's go to Matthew 7, 15 through 21. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are furious or ferocious wolves. But by their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. For every tree does not bear good fruit. It's cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruits, you will recognize them. And we want those fruits, right?
Yeah.
I can tell you what, I was never good at those fruits. I'm getting a lot better. Because you know what? Love and joy and peace, those are good ones. Forbearance, that's a good one. Kindness, I'm working on that one. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There's not a bad one among them. And I just once again want to thank you for letting me share with you today. And I'd like to end with a prayer. Heavenly Father, I'd just like to thank you for this word that you have given us today. I'd like to thank you for reaching deep down and opening up those thoughts of what folks need to do to bring down those walls. It's one of those things, Father, that you sent that great counselor so that we don't have to go through this pain and suffering any longer. And Father, we just want to thank you for this day. Ultimately, Father, it's Father's Day for you. And we just want to praise you and thank you. In Jesus Christ's heavy name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rodney. That was good. That's a lot to think about. A lot of meat there to chew on. Amen. So we're going to change the order of our service, and we're going to receive our offering. And today, there are two offering baskets, one for our guest speaker and one for Praisers Ministries. And we know, those of you that are familiar here at the river and know the teaching, we believe in a financial covenant with the Lord. We believe in tithes and offerings. The Lord said that if we would bring that into the house of the Lord, that there would be meat, there would be food, there would be provision in His house, and this is God's economy. And so as we go through life's journey together, and we're together in this, hallelujah, in the kingdom of God, we bring our offerings before the Lord. We present it to Him for His work. And I was thinking this morning about the story of the widow's mite. And how many are familiar with that story? A lot of people, Jesus was actually watching the offering basket. He was watching to see what people would give. And there were people that gave out of their abundance. And then there was the widow who gave two mites. And that was all she had. And Jesus commented on that. That what she gave was greater than what everybody else gave. And see, Jesus was always making statements like this that were very contradictory to what you saw in the natural. She didn't give more than everybody else. But what people fail to realize is Jesus ministered under an open heaven. And as He ministered under this open heaven, He could see the heart of this woman to give everything she had. Why? Because she trusted Him. And so you can bring a huge gift to the Lord, but if your heart is not in the right place, God looks at it very differently than the person that brings out of their lack and gives it to Him. Because in the kingdom of God, the Lord acknowledges everything that we do with a heart of worship to Him. And so today, we're bringing our offerings with that heart of worship. Whether it's a whole lot or it's a little, it should always be with a heart of worship. Because we love God, we trust God, we trust Him with all that we have, we trust Him with our life, we trust Him with our families, and we are just so thankful today to be able to bring an offering to the Lord. So let's raise our offerings to the Lord. If you didn't pick up an envelope, I apologize. Jerome has them, so wave at Jerome if you need one. But Father, we thank You, Lord, for this seed to sow, Lord, that we can bring our tithe into the storehouse, Lord God. And Lord, be honored and glorified, Father, through these gifts to You, Lord. We thank You, Father, for the furtherance of the gospel, for reaching people who are in need of You. And Father, bless these families. Bless their hands, Lord. We say success to You in all that You do, Lord. Bless them abundantly. In Jesus' name. Amen.